Welcome to the Sith Disturbers Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, and please check out our friends at the Star Wars Commonwealth.
Interesting and sophisticated, refusing to be celebrated. It's a monument of big screen cares. It's so deep, it's meaningless. One day I'll just up and quit. That'll be it. Just then the stripper stopped in a coffin fit. She said, sorry, I can't go on with this.
Like, I don't know, they were like tall girl party girls that would just walk around the party and like,
I'm so hard done by.
So boys, what's going on?
Hey, so you know who 2016, that year that got a bunch of celebs, didn't get? Our man Gordon.
Yeah, that's awful close, but that's not why. I'm so hard done by.
True. There you go.
Superman fighting strong. You know, we didn't know how it was looking at summertime. His doctors were talking like Christmas would be a feat. So, you know, good for him for battling so hard.
Yeah, let's not taunt 2017 just yet.
Oh
yeah.
No, it's very, very young.
No, I thought 2017 would have claimed somebody by now. Well, it may have gotten by me, but
just maybe nobody famous.
So James, you saw Rogue One again. You're on fire.
I've seen this movie a few times now. That's the fourth viewing. Yeah,
not bad.
It gets. I don't know if it keeps getting better. Like, I don't know if four was better than three, but certainly like it got better after you know one. Like two was better than one, and I think three was better again. And now I've settled firmly on my opinion.
It's like an aerated wine.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good movie. Super entertaining, full-bodied, I'd say. The only thing is, and this is it's not really a critique, but like, and this will come into play a little later into something I'm going to bring up, but it was something you said in, I don't know if it was Tumbling Saber or one of the other shows we did. You know, it didn't have a lot of Jedi, and I need more Jedi in my Star Wars movies. So, you know, beyond that, I really do enjoy the movie. It's super, super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like just for the full Star Wars experience, it just needs to have like everything that we're used to. But you know, I wonder, because I've been thinking about it too, is the inverse true as well? So let's say we went to, let's say maybe the Obi-Wan movie, or they go back in time and they show us a movie about the ancient Jedi, and it only revolves around ancient Jedi and ancient Sith, etc. Would we walk out of that movie, assuming it's a good movie, saying, yeah, but I really miss the underdog versus Goliath aspect, you know, the empire, the oppressive empire versus a rebellion type thing? Would we miss that aspect?
I see why you asked the question, but I don't think so. I mean, obviously I can't say for sure until they do it, but I don't think so. I think if they gave us like Jedis and lightsabers and good conflict and good storytelling, I don't think we would need it necessarily to be the same framework of the story. I think we would buy in and call it a good Star Wars movie, especially if it had a crawl and John Williams. So like if it was a full-fledged saga movie, but you know, set in a totally different time frame, I think we would. That's more important to make it feel Star Wars.
I wonder if that's part of the formula now. Not that I think they have a spreadsheet with, you know, in order to have a saga movie, it needs to have this, this, and that, and a standalone has to be this, this, and this. But I do wonder if they consider for a saga movie, if it needs to have the political aspect, the oppressive regime and the uprising of rebellion. If it needs to have that, if it needs to have the Jedi and dark side stuff, or if they feel like they can do a saga movie with only one of those things.
That is it. Well, geez, we're going to find out for sure. Corey, you haven't piped in too much. I put this in the show notes. I don't know if you saw. We sort of just naturally went here first.
Yeah,
but,
for sure.
What makes a Star Wars movie a Star Wars movie to you?
Well, it's a new kind of feel that we're approaching, and I think Disney took a great approach with Rogue One and what they did. They threw the Force as much as they could. Well, not I wouldn't say as much as they could, because, again, I felt it was kind of lacking. Like, I wouldn't say that it was necessarily Jedi or lightsabers that it was lacking. Like, we could have explored one of the temples on Jedha, got a little tidbit of information, something like that. Just the general mythos behind the Star Wars lore could have been a little more deeply embedded within the film. Kind of giving us a little history of the Guardians and the wills of the Force and things of that nature.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Isn't mythos where Balki was from?
Beautiful place.
No, I do see what you're saying, and that might have done it for me. I wanted more familiar, so maybe if I would have got like temple Jedi stuff. I think I wanted more Jedi and lightsabers, but I don't know.
I think that's what they kind of...
Yeah, I wanted to too, because I mean, that's what we're kind of used to, but I want to kind of give them the benefit of the doubt, even though sometimes filmmakers don't always deserve it. But I want to give them the benefit of the doubt that they talked it out. And how would that have served the story? I think that's the key thing. If having more force stuff serves the story and they didn't include it, well, I guess shame on them. But if just having it there so that we feel like we're getting a more rounded Star Wars experience,
then shame on them.
I would say then in that case it becomes incumbent upon us.
No, you're right. I don't want that. I don't want gratuitous
fan service.
You're right. I don't want that either. But I'm not saying it's not a great movie. I'm just questioning what makes a Star Wars movie to you. And did this, you know, Rogue One, I think for most people, they'll say, yes, that's a Star Wars movie. For me, I'll say, you know, it is. It's a Star Wars story and it's going to fit it's part of canon and all that. But I don't know if it felt. You want to hear something funny? My dad saw the movie with us too. And he said, surprising to me, it just didn't have the grandeur of the OT. I was like, wow, really? But I try to put myself in his shoes. And like when it came out, he was a young man that looking at something. I was a kid, so like I didn't really get the scope of what I was seeing. But he understood that this was like movie making history. You know, they'd never seen movies that looked like the OT did. And so as grandiose as I thought this movie looked and as slick as I thought it looked, it didn't blow my dad away nearly as much, you know, as other Star Wars movies did. So what his thing was, he was like, it's a good movie. It's just not grand like Star Wars movies should be. I was like, wow.
Well, that's a comment I haven't heard.
No, for sure. Like,
it's a story. It's a Star Wars story. Like the saga is the saga. Like they're trying to do something new.
No, but he meant looking. I'm not even talking about the story. He meant looking.
Like I'm sure you meant kind of, like when he said at. Like grand, like it didn't have that, you know. I know what he's kind
of trying
to say.
It didn't wow him to look at. And it wowed me to look at.
Oh, it wowed me too, for sure.
But it didn't.
Visually, yeah.
But I think maybe what he's getting at is because in 77, you had never seen anything like that. And I don't think there's much left in that realm where they can't show us something we've not already seen before.
That is what I'm fumbling at. But exactly. It just, as good as it is, it's not like we haven't seen slick-looking, cool movies before, as you know, comparable. Whereas nothing looked like the OT when it came out.
Exactly. I think that's exactly what he's getting at. Not having been there or spoken to him.
No, but I think you nailed it.
But moving forward within the stories, the anthologies, I guess, if you want to call them, for the future, we got Han Solo coming up next. Personally, I think, again, we might see the Force somewhat in this film, but in a different way. Like, I think the Force should be a recurring theme throughout them, but I think they're going to try and draw further and further away back from that. But I could see it in this film in the sense that the Force kind of helps Han Solo in a way, but he's kind of too arrogant to realize that still. Like, the Force is with him kind of in a way, you know, like, but he just thinks he's super lucky.
And he is with the Force.
No, he thinks it's a bunch of hooey.
Yeah, exactly. He thinks it's a bunch of garbage, but maybe we see somebody in Rogue One who's actively using the Force, and he's just like, nah. I don't know. That seems like a, what are you, some kind of magician?
What, in Rogue One or the Han Solo movie?
In the Han Solo movie. Maybe he sees somebody actually using the Force during his adventures and just like, ugh, what kind of trick was that?
Yeah, something like that. Or like, I could see it like, I don't know, just how lucky he can get in certain situations. Like someone even pointing it out to a man like, oh man, you know, you're pretty lucky or the Force is strong with you, and him being like, bah. Or maybe even seeing...
That could happen.
How would this be in the Han Solo movie? This just popped in my head. A little reoccurrence or recurring performance from Maz. That would be possible.
That would be... I'd love to see that.
I think you just called something. They've got that love story brewing between her and Chewie. Love stories, I know, an overstatement. But they could easily write that in. Like, we could see that. That could develop from the Han Solo movie. That line that she delivers about her big crush on the furry Wookiee.
Where's my boyfriend?
Chewie's working on the Falcon.
I like that Wookiee. I assume you need something.
Desperate. I think that's a great call.
I think they should make Maz a part of that movie. Though I wonder if we would have heard about that by now.
No. Everything's under wraps, man. Keep it under wraps, Disney. Don't tell us anything.
The casting. Casting's under wraps.
She fits into that cast so well, too.
As soon as somebody's cast, we hear about it.
Mm. They can keep... Not necessarily. I'm sure they can keep some things under wraps, no?
Nah. There's a press release as soon as someone's cast. Whether from Lucasfilm themselves or the... actors camp.
Well, someone send an email because that's a good idea.
Yeah, I'll do that right now.
Thanks for taking care of that. There's no crumpling up sound of paper effect for that line, Kyle.
No, that's actually a really good idea. I think they could definitely weave Maz into the Han Solo story, even if it's just for one scene
with Chewie.
Yeah, with Chewie. He does something that impresses her and...
He carries her away.
Maybe she's the one that uses the Force. And Han dismisses it, blows it off.
I like it.
Maybe that's a simpler way to do that.
That would be pretty interesting. Get them all together. Jabba, Maz. You know, big party. Lando.
So have you guys been following... Rogue One box office at all?
What is going on? Yeah. I mean, I knew it was supposed to do well, but holy crap.
It's killing. It's doing really, really well.
Well, it's a good movie.
That's it. It appeals to...
It's well-deserved.
It can appeal to people who are... Like, if someone can explain it to someone who's not necessarily a Star Wars fan, I think you'd have a better chance of getting him to go to this film as opposed to watching something like the entire saga. They say, no, if it's not their bag, you know what I mean? You can still probably, like, look, it's different, and they might give it, they'd be more willing to give it a chance, basically.
Pod roast! Chocolate pod roast! With green gravy!
Drink.
Well,
drink.
I've spoken to a few non-hardcore fans who've watched the movie, all really liked it. Like my brother, his wife, and my dad, amongst them, I really liked the movie with, you know, a couple little complaints about silly things here and there. But one thing that those three and another buddy of mine who's not like a hardcore geek or anything, so he knows about Star Wars, but sort of just superficially, they were all confused when Bail Organa says, I trust her with my life, or I trust her implicitly. Because the way it's set up, it sounds like to people who don't know what's going on, that he's talking about a Jedi. So they're like, who's the female Jedi? They all asked me that.
I follow. It didn't lose me at all.
Me either.
Like if, like at all, it didn't faze me. And the guy that was sitting with us, that you guys didn't know very well,
Matt.
He leaned into me and he said, I can't remember what he said, but you could tell he was way off. And I said, no, he's talking about. I was gonna say it. I'm like, do you want me to tell you? And he goes, whatever. He's talking about Leia. Oh.
What did he say? He thought it was Ahsoka or something?
He thought it... I can't remember who he thought it was. Yeah, but he was completely unaware that he was talking about Leia.
Yeah, they were confused too. Funny, eh?
Huh. Does that make it a badly written thing? Or that's just the nature of the beast. People just don't know.
It's not a badly written thing in that it's supposed to be sort of somewhat... coded. So if you don't catch it, someone will explain it to you and you'll go, oh. But like, I don't think it's badly written because people don't get it. It's, you know, the right, it's written well enough that if you follow the storyline, it's easy to know what's going on. We all got it right away, right?
Yeah, so for
I
sure.
think it's well written.
There's no doubt in my mind.
And I think we were all of us were expecting Leia to get introduced somehow. And I still think a lot of people are unaware that Jimmy Smits is Leia's dad.
I guess.
Adopted father.
Right. Because Anakin is Leia's dad.
Yeah, I saw the guys on
I saw that too.
Rogue Pod Squad having this beef with this dodo on Instagram. And some people are just really stubborn. They just don't want to give up their point of view. But no, Leia identifies as an Organa. She always has. That's always how she's been referred to. So I snapped three pics from the official Star Wars storybooks, put them all together, threw them up on Instagram myself, and tagged Cody at Rogue Squad Pod. And that picture is blowing up on Instagram. My phone keeps buzzing and buzzing and buzzing, and I don't get it. It's not that interesting a picture, but it's going nuts. Like, I'm looking at it right now. It's got 122 likes.
That's Carrie Fisher.
I've posted a lot of Carrie Fisher in the last week. Nothing has come within 25% of that.
That particular... people like that particular picture, I guess.
It's very bizarre. I don't quite follow it, but anyway. Not to hijack the conversation for an Instagram post.
So what what's going on in terms of World Juniors? You like in Canada? Real quick, but...
quick aside for a sports aside here? Yeah,
we'll do this in 2 minutes or less.
Yeah, hang around, listeners. We're going to talk hockey very quickly here. I like Canada every year, except for in goal. It seems to me that since Carey Price, Canada has always had some Bambi-legged kid in goal that ends up being the team's Achilles heel. And I do not trust either goalie that they have this year, Ingram or Hart. I think they're both going to kill this team.
I agree. I've got nothing to add. I totally agree. I defensively, we always look good. We've always got some really, really talented forwards who can put the puck in the net. I'm not worried about being able to score at all in this tournament. But boy, if you have to score 5 to win, you're in trouble.
Especially once you get to the semis and the gold medal game. Yep. Because they looked awful against the Americans.
It was an easy 3-1 win.
They came unhinged at the end. It just wasn't good. Corey, anything to add?
Not really. I love the juniors. It's so great to always watch it this time of year.
This is my favorite tournament. This is my favorite tournament in all of sports. More than the Olympics, more than the World Cup, more than the Stanley Cup playoffs. I love the World Junior Hockey Championship.
And it's so cool, too, because you know you're going to see all these kids in the NHL real soon.
A lot.
Yeah. Most of them, yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess we're going to hope. Canada just knocked off Czech Republic here, not to date this episode of Sith Disturbers, but looks like they're on their way. But again, the goaltending was suspect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, well, are we into the would-you-rathers? Where are we going from here?
Well, I just wanted to finish with the box office thing. So it's at $440 million after 18 days, which is kind of where I expected it to land as a final
That's
number.
That's domestically,
pretty
right?
much. Correct. Yeah, it's at 775 worldwide.
It's going to do a billion.
It's going to do a billion.
Hells yeah.
I never made any specific predictions. I just kind of said, take whatever The Force Awakens has and chop that in half. And that's what I think Rogue One will do. And that looks like it's going to be in and around that. And I don't think that was a very bold prediction. But I think domestically anyway, it's going to do better than that. I think it's going to flirt with 600 million.
Crazy.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm definitely going to see it again. How about you, Kyle?
Well, let's make a plan for the weekend. I've been trying to set it up for this entire holiday season, and it just never panned out. I could never get away long enough to go see it.
Can you guys do Sunday?
So, it's either Saturday afternoon or Sunday. Maybe I'm going to try and sneak back.
I can do Sunday. Anyways, we'll set this up, but let's maybe we'll reach out to Candido and see if he wants to try to get another viewing in too, and we can recreate the magic.
we can see if he revises his thoughts on 3PO. Yeah. Although I doubt very much.
What like James, you quote. James, you could rebuy the calamari and the tickets again.
No. One time deal, my friend.
All right, so let's do some would you rather's. Now I'm just gonna say I didn't do one this week.
Ooh.
So we'll call.
But I have something else. So, I mean, if you guys have would you rather's, we will go with your guys, and then I have something else.
Oh, I like that. Okay, cool. So let's go with the would you rather's and keep everybody in suspense. So it's always good for ratings. And we'll do would you rather's a couple times, and then we'll head over to a new thing. I want to go first because I got one that's like, I got two, so I built two this week. But one of them I think is going to really be difficult for Corey.
And he's going to back us into a corner.
I think it's super black and white, so you just have to make a choice. There's no loophole. I'll start with that one. Okay, Corey and Kyle, would you rather your screens play Star Wars only forever or never again? Meaning you can only watch Star Wars stuff, cartoons, all the Star Wars stuff, anything, animated series, movies. Only Star Wars or never Star Wars?
So you can never watch anything else but Star Wars?
Ever again. That's right.
Or everything else but no Star Wars.
You can never watch anything else, Corey, if you choose Star Wars. You can't watch anything else.
I'm going to be that sick and twisted guy. I'm going to go with Star Wars.
Yes!
Yeah, me too. To be honest, I think
I'm going
to
do it.
Yeah, I think there's enough content coming out now that'll be happy, and you know, I'll become a reading guy.
You get all the reading. New stuff, and that's a legitimate loophole. I was going to say you could still fill your mind with stories through literature.
Yeah, I can supplant all the comic book movies that I've supplanted comic book reading with the movies because I think the movies are that good, especially on the Marvel side. But I could always go back. I could always flip back to reading comics again. And yeah, I could read more. And as far as sports viewing, that would hurt a lot.
But you could go to events.
But I could go to a sporting event, although I can't afford those and often don't have the time. But I've always found baseball better on radio than TV.
I agree with you there.
And that's what the radio is built for. I will just listen to sports.
Well, I like your answers, boys, especially as hosts of a Star Wars podcast. That's probably the right way to go.
Yeah, I was thinking radio as well.
Off, instead of just consuming sports, maybe it would inspire me to get off my couch and go participate in some sports.
Exactly. Become much more active people. Thanks, James.
Win, win, win. You guys are welcome.
All right, yeah. Yeah,
Corey,
I got one.
You're up.
I got one.
Well, actually, let's flip it on James because I think but it's all Lord of the Rings and nothing else or the flippity flip.
I'm gonna sound like I'm a less hardcore fan than you, but I'm gonna take no more Lord of the Rings movies, just because the movies aren't my favorite way to digest that story anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you should have said all. Anyway.
Yeah,
I got one for you.
That would be a much tougher choice. If I had to choose, like, no more Lord of the Rings, period, that would be, then I would take Lord of the Rings.
Okay, say no more, say no more.
If books were included.
It's really funny that you asked this question, James, because mine's somewhat similar. I'm going to ask you something a little different, James, but you could still answer this one. Okay, so Kyle first, just quickly now, okay. You can live in a world that has hockey, but absolutely no Star Wars. And there will never, ever, ever be any Star Wars, ever. Or vice versa. You live in a world where there's all kinds of Star Wars and other things, but there will never, ever, ever be the game of hockey, ever.
That is a similar question.
Which planet or which Earth are you choosing?
Am I aware that the one thing that is missing used to exist and I just have a hole in my heart forever?
No.
Or I was clueless.
You're totally clueless. You just never, ever get a chance to. Like, it'll never be created. You'll never have a chance to watch it or play it. Or, yeah.
Oh, I know the Corey answer for this.
No, I don't really have an answer.
Well, you know, I feel like because you wouldn't know, you would never miss it. So, who cares?
So then choose. Is it hockey or Star Wars, Kyle?
Well, I'm doing a Star Wars podcast, and I parked the hockey podcast until I could find time to do it. So I would, I will choose Star Wars.
Wow. Good one, Kyle. You're the man.
What about you, I'm going to choose Star Wars too, just because, and this is how Corey would answer it, just because I know in my heart that I would eventually invent hockey. Just
because it would come out of my soul. I knew you would say something like that. There's no possibility. There's like a spell over the planet. Like,
It would just come out of my blood. I'd bleed it into the ice one day.
Okay, James, specifically for you, just quickly, what's it going to be?
I choose Lord of the Rings.
Over golf?
Yep.
All right, perfect. All right, I got another one, quick one for you guys. Same kind of theme. All right, the Canadians can win the Stanley Cup this year if you will it. Like, this year, it's guaranteed they will win the Stanley Cup. Or, it's like you have that choice, or there'll be no further Star Wars films for 15 years. Like, you guarantee the Canadians a cup, or you know you're eventually going to get more Star Wars, but only in 15 years. You have to wait 15 years for the Canadians to...
That's so easy.
You're asking it wrong.
Yeah, yeah. So if you choose the Canadians to win the cup, you park Star Wars for 15 years. That's your question.
Okay. Yes, I think go Habs go. I keep saying we should wait for movies anyway.
I'll say no. You know, the Canadians haven't won in 23 years. At this point, whatever that number it turns out to be, by the time they win again, I'll wait. I don't want to wait 15 years between Star Wars movies. I've done that.
You know, there's Cubs fans with this kind of stuff written on their gravestones.
Oh, for sure. There's Cub fans saying 23 years. That's so cute.
Also, just be careful.
Yeah, it's true. Like, I'm thinking about it too. And
well, then again, I've witnessed two cup parades in my life.
But doesn't guarantee that they won't win either on their own, basically. So, you know, they could still win.
Drink.
So there's that odds. That's factors in too. So I'm going to go with that as well.
Yeah, that's exactly. I feel like the Canadians, at some point in the next 50, I would say... In the next 15 years, they'll win the cup.
You would have said that 15 years ago, though.
Yeah. Well, then I will say that then it will average out to it. At some point in the next 30 years, they will win once, which would make sense mathematically, being there's 30 teams. Once every 30 years, everybody should win the cup. So I'd be comfy with that.
That's fair.
Except for the Leafs.
And I think I've completely stopped making any sense.
All right. My last would you rather before we move on. This is super easy.
Actually, I've come up with, it's not a would you rather, but it's a proposition. It's an indecent proposal.
Okay, go.
Well, you can go ahead. I'll finish.
Okay. So, would you rather, as a human being, have Yoda's height or skin color?
Why do I have the skin color? That's just my pigmentation.
That's just what color you are, dude.
Like, it's not because I have some sort of liver disease and I'm going to die?
No, no,
I just happen to be green?
You're just bright green.
What color do I turn when I stand in the sun?
Like khaki?
Like a And when I've been cooped up inside in the winter, I turn like a
yellow.
Pale... So really, Yoda green is like the peak. That's your peak attractiveness.
You're right.
That's the hue that's gonna just if you can't make it work with that green hue, you're done.
Correct.
Yeah. I'm gonna interject and go ahead and loophole this and choose the Yoda green and just tattoo myself back to human color.
You can't.
I did. It's done. Tattooed.
Can't.
Green tattoo.
Yoda's skin doesn't take ink.
Oh, you didn't say that.
You're betraying the spirit of the show.
I'm just telling you.
God,
I'm just loopholing your loophole. You try to tattoo it and magically the ink just disappears. Sorry, dude.
Yeah, but you should have said that at the beginning. If you want that in, you got to say it first. Loopholed.
No. No.
Looper.
So neither of you, no one wants to be 3 feet tall?
Well, I'm thinking about it. Vern Troyer has a pretty good life. But no, Yoda's like 18 inches tall. That's really small.
He is pretty small.
Now, if you would have said something like if you have Yoda's powers and agility and Jedi prowess and wisdom.
Then you would take that over height? Yeah, me too.
No, I'm going to take the green skin too. Just 18 inches tall, that's beyond my breaking point. Like if... I think 3 feet tall would probably be my cutoff.
You'd be a hobbit, but you wouldn't be a Yoda.
You know, are hobbits even that small?
They're like 3 feet tall, yeah.
Yeah.
3 feet? Yeah. That's really? I mean, I know the movie misled and made them taller than they ought to be, but really three feet?
Mary and Pippin grow about, I think, a foot about, eh? When they drink the Ent water or the Ent?
Ent wash. They grow a little less than that, but yeah, they get up to like 4 feet.
Yeah.
Super tall for hobbits.
Jesus, my daughter is like over 3 feet tall.
Yeah, they're not tall.
Man, the movie's very misleading in that regard, isn't it?
They get it wrong more than they get it right. The perspective thing is hard.
Because it's hard to believe you see like Bilbo or Frodo, any of them like battling at some points they do kind of fight, you know? Like, it'd be surreal, like unreal for us to see someone of that nature, like our children going up against taking one blow, like sword to sword, you know.
Yeah, I'll take the green skin. I feel like there's some weird people out there that would dig me.
Well, if you worked out a lot, you could be like Cass as the Hulk,
or you could just get tattooed like me.
Or you could get tattooed like Corey.
No, I'm not going to corrupt the game. There's integrity at play here.
I respect that. I respect that, Kyle.
You love the loopholes.
All right, so here's my indecent proposal. Not today, I don't. Okay, so this is going to be me trying to buy your soul. So I'm going to offer you $2 million. I'm going to pay your mortgage to your house. I'm going to set your kids up for their entire lives. I think based on our conversations we had already tonight, I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to give you all a very comfortable life for the rest of your lives. But you can never participate in Star Wars again, Corey. You have to delete your Twitter account, trash your movies, your comics. You're never going to see Episode 8 in theaters. You're never going to see it, period. You're out. You're done. It's over. And James, you can never read Lord of the Rings again, ever. Or The Hobbit, or anything with Tolkien's name on it. Just in fact, you have to burn it all.
Yeah, I'm done. It's easy for me, man. I'm staying the course. I'm watching Star Wars. I don't need your $2 million. Like, who knows what this life's too short, man. I don't know what tomorrow holds. Like, Trump's taking over in just a couple days from now. Like,
man, that is tough.
Whew. Boy, I thought you guys would have been like, give me the money.
Well, I want to take the money. But I could work,
I'd like to set my kids up, too.
Oh, yeah, you can, or I can say, you know, okay, have a nice life. Keep doing what you're doing. And I walk away with my briefcase full of cool $100 bills.
Yeah, that would be bad for me, that money. I need to work for a living. As tempting as it is, I think, and I don't know if I would really say this if it was a pocket full of, pile full of cash in front of me, but I'm going to say that I would turn it down.
Okay, let me modify it. I'm just going to try and twist it. I'm not going to give you the briefcase of cash and say you manage the money, because in a lot of cases, I think myself included, I would probably ruin it for myself within 6 months.
Yeah, I think my cocaine overdose would be hellishly fun.
It would be swift.
It would be a flaming ball of awesome.
Like, I wouldn't make it to dinner
that
night.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so instead, I will just say, I'll just pay off your house. That's done. I will show you the account statements where your children are set for life, and you can't touch that money either. And then I'll give you a much smaller cash reward. Or it's doled out, and say, in doses of like 50 grand a year.
Well, I'm gonna get a little Stephen King on you here, Kyle, and I'm going to go and say, you know, because you said originally that you're going to try and buy our souls, whenever you're making a deal with the devil, it's all great and dandy. Like, you'll come through with everything you just said. But then when I wake up in tomorrow morning, I'm going to open my door and it's going to be the apocalypse, basically. You know what I mean? It was all for naught.
But as he spoke from beneath his cloak, he slipped another ace. 10,000 souls was the opening bid, summing up to 59. But the Lord didn't see what the devil did, and he said, that suits me fine. I'll raise you high to 105 and forever put an end to your sins. But the devil let out a mighty shout, my hand wins!
So you gotta stay the course, hold fast.
I'm probably taking the money then.
Yeah, if I dummy proof it for you. Like, don't worry about it, James. You
if
just
I can't
come
screw
to me
it
and
up.
I got you back.
Yeah. Because even if I get hit by a car tomorrow, then it's all good still for the rest. You can't turn
that
down.
Oh, yeah.
But boy, would I miss Tolkien. Whew. That'd be a tough one.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you guys picked off the answers. But then you would start to ask yourself, like, what have I given up? I've given up a piece of me that I can't get back.
Yeah,
but I did it to like take care of a bigger piece.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, you took care of the most important piece. But there's always going to be that you know, human nature, right? You tell somebody they can't have something, and what are they going to do? They're just going to, at best, they're just going to yearn for it and be miserable. And I guess if not, then they'll cope and move on. But I think it's always going to be that little piece saying, I need it. I really want it back.
Yeah, it's not only that. Like, you don't know what tomorrow brings, man. Like, anything can happen. Just be nice. Don't get me wrong. I'd love to set my kids up for life, too. But who knows?
Kids? You have more than one?
My kid, sorry. Or my family.
He just said you never know what tomorrow brings.
That's true.
Knock, knock, knock. Daddy! Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, man. Just do our thing.
Okay. What was next?
I don't know. I think...
Oh, but was my,
you had,
my
yeah,
thing?
You said you had something.
Okay, it's a really quick thing.
Thing.
It's actually moving away from Star Wars. But we're going to go, I guess we don't have to do it super roundtable, rapid-fire style, but... I want to ask you guys about, you know, sequels and or reboots whose time has come or maybe has not come. But Corey, I'm going to ask you first. Austin Powers 4, yay or nay?
Yay.
Yeah, I'm yay on that also. It's been 20 years, man. It's time.
Yeah. That's, I've heard it's in the works. Yeah. Supposedly, but.
This is, 2017 is the 20th anniversary of the first Austin Powers movie. So there's your first I feel old moment of the year.
Big time. Holy cow.
20 years ago.
Wow.
I still remember watching that movie in theaters, but it really doesn't seem that long ago.
Seems impossible.
Christ, you remember?
It does. It seems impossible.
What about this, Kyle? Kyle and I remember this. I remember this really well because it was such a cool deal for me. And this will super date us, but my parents dropped us off and at basically a bus terminal. We took the bus. We ended up on the West Island. And we go see, I was about 12, or I must have been anywhere between 11 and 13, I would say. And we went to go see Wayne's World in the theater.
Excellent.
My parents gave us however so much money, you know. We come back. It was such a cool night. Such a cool like afternoon. We went to go see the matinee. We came back on the bus. My parents gave us enough money to have Kyle and I had dinner in like this lakeside village in the middle of, I think it was winter or spring. And like the booth that we were sitting in had like a jukebox, basically. Like these ones that were kind of like bolted to the table.
Drink.
What's funny is you say basically when you mean literally. It literally had a jukebox, and it was literally a bus terminal.
That's true. But do you remember what I'm talking about? You know, remember those things with the, like, you know, you type in your what you wanted, or you flip through them, and you choose
A1? Oh, yeah, for
sure.
100%. Little table jukebox or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was like a dime. It was, anyway, super
You're
dated.
Old.
But wow.
You're old.
Yeah. Well, come on, Mike. Bring it back.
Okay, so I think I'm a yay as well on Austin Powers 4.
As long as it's written well.
Well, I mean, that goes with any... I can't wait for them to make a bad movie.
Well, Goldmember, I wasn't a big fan of... It was good. I'd have to watch it again.
Some people, it's their favorite, but it's not mine either, Corey.
No. One and two. One's the best. To me, it's like 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I agree. But one and two are close, and then three for me is...
Yeah, one and two are very close. Two was outrageous.
Yeah, I remember
Heather
seeing...
Graham. Come on.
I saw that one in theater as well. And just the beginning where, like, it basically erases everything from the first movie where she's a fembot, and I was like...
Yeah, just like the laziest retcon that you're just like, yep, okay.
Yeah. I was about 18 years old in my state of mind watching that in theater. Like, it was... I was in the perfect state of mind. Let's just say it that way.
Good code.
Yeah, but by the time Goldmember wrapped up in, what was that, 2003 or 4, maybe 2002? Like, I was done with the franchise.
Yeah, agreed.
I really was done. But, that was 15, 16 years ago, whatever it was. I think I'm ready.
They have a lot more to make fun of now.
Oh.
Yeah.
They could have put Austin Powers back on ice, woken him up in 2016 to this gong show.
There's just so much. There's so much going on. And there's been a bunch of Bond movies made that he can... There's a lot of ammo out there 20 years later, 16 years later.
I mean, they can get tons of jokes just off the social media.
No doubt.
Like they could have put him to sleep before social media. Completely.
Oh, okay. I'm looking forward to it even more now.
So all these movies that I'm going to throw at you are already kind of rumored to be in some sort of form of I don't know, early talks. Yeah. Very early talks, maybe even embryonic. Because I did hear something about Austin Powers 4. But I don't think you can really find much about it. So anyway, that's my little caveat. So James, Goonies
yes.
2.
I knew you were going to go there too. Yes, yes, yes. And some people are some purists are like, no, don't touch it. It won't be as good. And it probably won't be, but I don't care. Please bring me back there. Like, and give it, you know, who should write it is what are the brothers' names who wrote Stranger Things? Let those guys write Goonies 2.
Your life. First, you got to do the truffle shuffle. Come on. Do it. Come on. Do it.
Yeah, I'm kind of a purist, but I want to see more. If they can get the old ensemble
together. Dude, haven't seen Stranger Things yet, have you, Corey?
No.
It'll make you a believer, man. It makes me so happy to watch that show. It's like the warm, happy place that you want to go to when you watch TV. It's amazing.
That's awesome. No, I'm Goonies is definitely up there for me, and I'd love to see the old. I don't know how they do it, like, you know, with the
new kids,
the old cast,
man. New kids, and they'll have cameos as the from the old cast as parents and stuff.
That's what they did with Ghostbusters too. You know, I still haven't seen Ghostbusters the remake, and I heard it was decent.
I don't think it got the budget that Goonies 2 deserves.
Yeah, maybe not. I'm still a yes, but the longer they wait to do it, the more I verge to no. If you had asked me 6 months ago, I'd have been like, yes, 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 do it. But now they've been talking about this seemingly for years. And every year that passes where they don't do it, I'm just like, okay, well, what's going to happen? Are we going to see like a 60-year-old Josh Brolin helping his grandkids? Maybe that's when it becomes interesting again. But some of these, I don't know. I don't know how they would do it. One of the coolest things about Goonies was the cheesy 80s soundtrack, right?
Yes. You mean amazing?
Yeah, it was so good.
the amazingly cheesy 80s soundtrack. What would they do? Like, I wouldn't want to hear any of today's music. I assume the movie would take place in today's time frame. And I wouldn't want to, like, if the soundtrack consisted of today's music, the equivalent of that music now, I it wouldn't do anything for me.
I don't know. There's a way to make it, and there's a way to make it great.
There's a way. I'm still a yes, but they need to get on it. Otherwise, the consequences, man, I'm going to say
from
no.
From what I understand, the reason they haven't done it is because whoever has the rights, and I can't remember who it is, but they keep turning down scripts, which is good. They want the right story.
If they're being choosy, then that's a good sign.
That's what I think.
Just don't keep doing it until everybody's dead.
Yeah, well, I suppose.
Okay, Top Gun 2, James.
Didn't they already make it? I think it's called Part Deux.
No, again, Top Gun 2 is again, something that Jerry Bruckheimer and Tom Cruise have already spoken about. And they sound like they want to make it work. And if they do, then they will. But I haven't heard anything about this in a good year, so.
I guess yes. I really like Top Gun. Like, it fits very nicely into my guilty pleasures, you know, movie category.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's, you know, soundtrack and, you know.
What's cooler than fighter jets? Come on.
Yeah, and motorcycles and shirtless men's volleyball.
okay. But it had me at the loud guitars and the fighter jets. That's all they needed to get out of me.
Yeah, and then it had the buddy, ultimate buddy story, and I don't know, terrific. But does it need to be redone? That's the kind of thing I feel sort of like Corey does maybe about Goonies. That I'm like, I don't think it'll be good. So no.
So you're a no on Top Gun 2?
I could go either way. I'm Bendu.
He's loopholing it.
Corey,
I'm gonna say yes. If even though he's I'm not a huge fan as of late, but yeah, if Tom Cruise is involved, if Maverick's on board, I'm doing it.
Maverick would be the Viper without him. For sure.
Yeah, exactly.
He'd be like the flight instructor, right?
Or the jester? No, not jester. No, he'd definitely be.
He would still be the star of the movie.
Oh yeah,
somehow.
No, he couldn't be.
Maybe they graduate him to flight instructor, but he still ends up being the ace pilot. It's Tom Cruise.
It's true. He's stealing the last scene.
No, he gets his name on there as producer, and he Tom Skerritt's the role, and then they give it to some hot young kid. Like who's the kid who got turned down for Han Solo? British kid.
Oh man, I don't remember anymore. Some loser.
No, I like that guy. He was in. Oh my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
The Kingsman.
His last name starts with an E, if I'm not mistaken. Egerton.
Anyway, that guy. He's my pick to be young fighter pilot dude in Top Gun 2.
Yeah, that works. That definitely works. But I still say it's Tom Cruise, and he's not giving up that that starring role.
What about you, Kyle, on Top Gun 2? You like it?
Yeah, I'm in. And lastly, Corey, Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Wow, that's a bit of a toughie. I kind of say no, just because part 3, it started to kind of fall apart a bit. But I do really like Eddie Murphy a lot, and I think he needs a rebirth in his career. So if they can get the right script together and make it classic, I would go ahead and say yes, but the realist in me says that's not going to happen.
Dude, just so you know, I know what you mean about Eddie Murphy, but apparently he's one of the highest paid actors in the last decade. He's done a bunch of voice stuff, and he makes a mint doing voice stuff. Mulan and Shrek. And,
oh, he made so much as Donkey?
Dude, I'm telling you, he's like, he made that really crappy space movie.
Pluto Nash.
And then he was like, okay, so I can not put my own money up and just sit in a voice box and make a ton of money. And that's what he's been doing since.
He made a whole bunch of bad comedies.
He makes money hand over fist.
Well, yeah, but real bad, but high grossing, man. Right, the Clumps and stuff grossed a ton.
The Clumps did gross
and
a ton.
And video and so all
did,
that stuff.
Daddy Daycare.
Yeah.
Yeah, all his movies do well. Until people realize they stink. But at this point, he's kind of... I don't know how bankable he is as a star. And I think to Corey's point, you know, wanting to see, you know, classic Axel Foley, you can't do that. You can't put classic Eddie Murphy on screen.
No, that's
today.
that's like putting Chevy Chase in a Vacation movie. He's not Clark Griswold anymore. You know what I mean?
No, it doesn't look like him at all. He doesn't play the role anymore. You can't have Eddie Murphy as Axel Foley the way you remember him. It just... Imagine all the little... The people in the audience. So many of them, you know, just out of school, and how sensitive so many people are now. They would just lose their minds.
You offended them just now by saying that.
Probably. I probably offended some people, but it's... I'm not saying it's bad.
I'm saying it's bad.
Just sensibilities have completely changed. Like, people are definitely more sensitive now, and you just can't make jokes about people and ethnicities and races and all that stuff the way Eddie Murphy used to.
No.
You can't do that now.
Absolutely not. You have people now who are...
Then again, if anybody could, it's him. But I just don't think any studio is or director, for that matter, is brave enough to go there.
Nah, the world's changed too much. Look at Steve Martin getting himself in trouble for calling Princess Leia pretty.
What a joke.
That's the world we live in.
That was... that. Well, you see, how many comedians? Jerry Seinfeld. I'm blanking now on some big names who just don't go doing college circuit anymore because they end up offending all the kids. Yeah. Which is insane.
Chris Rock said that too. He said, I don't like doing live shows with young crowds because I offend everybody.
Yeah, it's just totally weird to me. I don't know if these guys have all gotten old and they're just not sensitive enough, or if the crowds are just too young and too easily triggered. That's a big thing now. Trigger warnings. Oh, you said something that upset me.
Yeah, we're addicted. As a society, I think we're addicted to being offended.
A little bit. Definitely.
Yeah, there's our deep commentary for the end of the show.
Yeah. Well, you guys, we all went to the same college.
Best 9 years of my life, buddy.
Who are you, Van Wilder?
No, that's I don't know if Van Wilder says that too, but Chris Farley says that in Tommy Boy. A lot of people go to school for 9 years. Yeah, they're called doctors.
Well, I remember they used to have comedians in all the time, and some of them really pushed the envelope, and it was, and this is only 20 years ago.
Yep.
And it was funny then, and something has happened where all those jokes now would just get a comedian run out of the off the stage. Which is kind of disturbing.
It is, absolutely.
Like, if a comedian, should comedians have free reign? I don't know. I don't know if we want to get into this right now, but a little something to leave the listeners with. Should comedians have free reign to say whatever they want about whoever they want?
Well, I mean, hate, you know, that. No, I think there's a such thing as hate speech, and there's a line that you have to draw.
Yeah, definitely walk a line.
But I mean,
yeah, like Michael Richards on what show was that? One of the late night shows years ago. Was it Letterman?
I think he was in a club even.
Yeah, he was in a club.
Oh, was he in the club? Yeah.
Yeah.
That was over the line. That was him completely.
Yeah, he was losing it. He was getting heckled.
Yeah, that wasn't part of his routine. Yeah, that was just him being a bigot. But I think the problem is society's changed so much. It used to be like if someone was offended by something inane, or you know, you would just keep it to yourself. But for some reason, like we voice our offense and we make sure that people understand we were offended, and we seek out like approval for our offense, and that.
Well, now you have 140 characters. You can go and just hammer out your offense and tag the person who offended you because they're likely on Twitter, and you've got. You probably, if you're on social media, you have your following of like-minded people who will rally to you and also trash that person. And suddenly, that person is getting hammered by dozens, if not hundreds or thousands of tweets condemning him or her.
That's it. And I mean, sometimes it's deserved, of course, but it just seems like we're really, really sensitive. I wonder what Carlos has to say about this, because I know he's a really sensitive guy, so he probably thinks we're being way too harsh. Sorry, Candido.
I did a stand-up bit probably about 10 years ago, and I was so nervous about doing it. And once it started coming down to the wire, I did some research. You know, I was like, what am I going to do? Like, and the rule...
once it comes down to the wire.
Oh, it was bad. It was bad. But it ended up being pretty decent. It was fun. It was an experience. It was hard to do, but the number one thing they say is, you know, if you're going to make fun of someone else, be sure that, you know, make fun of yourself first, you know? Like, if you can make fun of yourself.
Probably good advice.
Like, if you can make fun of yourself and watch comedians, a lot of the time it's, in the long run, it boils back to something they can relate to or something that's pertaining to their lives.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you got to kind of make yourself one of the people.
You got to be vulnerable.
You can take
it
too. All right, boys, let's wrap it up. Let's get out of here. Where can we find you on Twitter, Corey?
Come on, guys. Come on. It's a Chop Rules with a Z.
James.
Tommy Bombadil 1 on the Twitter machine.
Giddy up. And I'm at Tumbling Saber. Any final words, boys?
We didn't swear in this episode.
Probably no.
This is number 10, Corey. I thought you were keeping track.
Is it 10 or 9?
Is this 10?
Oh, no. You've lost track?
No, it says 9.
Wait, you had one job.
Oh, we're at number 9.
Whatever I put in the show notes, if you've taken the task of counting, it's on you to figure it out.
You're not counting Sith. You're not counting Sithmas, man.
No, that was... That was a special. That was a one-off special.
But I told you, Corey, this is 10, dude.
No, we're at 9.
All right, you can call it 9. I'm calling it 10. And Kyle's not numbering it. You asked for final words. What a big mistake.
Oh, Jesus.
Can someone swear already?
I'm not even editing this show, too. Just don't swear for the sake of swearing. That's gratuitous, and we already.
That was called for.
It totally called for. What a. What a. I gotta edit this.
Oh, guys. Go visit Star Wars Commonwealth. Go see our friends at Talk Star Wars, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadron Podcast, Skyhoppers Podcast, and The Nerd Room. You can find links to all those shows there. And subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a review. That would be amazing. And, of course, we talked about our Twitter handles. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. And also, I never talk about our newsletter. But if you hit tumblingsaber.com, there'll be a little pop-up window that jumps out at you. You can just plug in your email address. And once a week is what I like to say, but that usually doesn't happen. So it ends up being more like once every 3 weeks. But I'm going to try and fix that. I send out a little newsletter, and that includes links to all our blogs and podcasts for the week and whatever news is going around the Star Wars Commonwealth. So make sure you do that, and that will definitely cover you as far as the Tumbling Saber team. And until episode 57 of the Tumbling Saber podcast, we thank you for listening, and we will catch you all soon. Bye for now.
Bye-bye. You're listening to Sith Disturbers, more jammed transmissions from the Farce users at the Tumbling Saber Podcast, proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Network.